This is the story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. This is the story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
DSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Third and final hour of the program this morning. And some of you were saying, thank God, I only got to listen to this guy for another hour. And then Chris McCarthy will be here with South Coast Now. And just a reminder, you don't have to listen. If you don't like what I say, if you don't like my viewpoints, I'm not trying to force this on you. You can do other things. You can listen to other things. Just come back for Chris. Don't punish him because you don't like me. But I would never subject somebody to listen to something that they don't want to listen to. I would never want you to watch something that you don't like. I would never want you to read a book that you think is terrible. I'm not going to be insulted if you decide not to listen. Because you know what? There are a lot of people who do listen. And I wish they would call. I can't tell you how many people come up to me and say, oh, I listen every morning. You know, I think a lot like you do. Well, why don't you ever call? Right. It's because nobody else calls with your viewpoint. And so you feel like you don't want to be the one to put yourself out there. But you know what? You've lived like that for too long and look at what's happened. So now you've got to speak up. Now you've got to say something. You've got to call in. You've got to show people that the way that we think isn't some anomaly, that we're not evil, as that caller called me. That we are normal, rational thinking people, just like they think that they are. That just has a different viewpoint. And maybe if they listen, they'll understand why we think the way that we do. Because I've tried listening to their viewpoints, and some people have very cogent reasoning, and I will listen to them explain that and say, yeah, well, I see why you think that. I still don't agree, but I see where you came to that conclusion. But so many people, it's not that. And by the way, I just want to point out that I don't want to say that that's what happens every day. I don't want to call it a talk radio phenomenon. But talk radio is very much built on emotion. What I do in trying to say, you know, let's be logical about things kind of flies in the face of what makes for good talk radio. Because people who are ambivalent toward the discussion, ambivalent toward the viewpoints and what the impact of those viewpoints are, you know, like the money people that are in the business side of talk radio, they're just like, yeah, whatever gets people amped up. Get the phone calls, get people listening, get people tuning in, get people visiting the sponsors, get people buying advertising. Like, I think that there's a responsibility here. And if you've got a viewpoint that isn't being heard, this is the place to have it be heard. And for those of you who want to call in and say, well, you know, you shut down anybody that's a different viewpoint than you. So call back at noontime and talk to Barry. He's not going to shut you down if you think differently than I do. If you are the exact opposite of me, Barry will call in and be like, hey, listen, I am a complete opposite of everything that Tim Weisberg thinks, and I bet you he won't even cut you off. He'll let you just keep going. He won't even look at the clock while you're talking. He'll give you all the say that you want. He's a good guy like that. You don't have to engage if you don't like what I say, if you don't agree with me. But just be prepared that if you do, we can have that back and forth until you start pulling out the name calling. Because if you do that, I'm going to do it right back, and I guarantee you I'm funnier than you are. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, how you doing, Tim?
Good, how are
you? Hope your morning's going well. So I've been hearing all these people attack pretty much the whole abortion and how this one controls it and this politician. But at the end of the day, it shouldn't even be talked about in politics. It's something to be done with people, their medical professionals, and that's it. There are thousands of things that politicians should be taking care of other than what has to be done with women and sexuality or abortions and all this other stuff. And all these people fighting for it. Like, if you could fight for the stuff that really needs to be fought for as much as you guys do for abortion, when abortion has nothing to do with you guys at all, maybe we'd be in a better place and there wouldn't be so much hate in this world. You know what I mean?
That's
what I just don't get. They're all attacking the same thing when it has nothing to do with any of us. It's whoever is dealing with it at that point in time, and they should be taking care of it, and that's it.
And
there's plenty of stuff to be worked on.
And here's the thing that people don't want to hear or think about is that for a majority of the politicians that take up this issue, they don't care about it one way or the other, but they know two things. They know that it's going to fire people up to come out and vote for them, and they know that it's never going to get solved. So it's an easy issue to keep bringing up again and again to fire people up but not have to actually do anything about. And so it really just is a political football to them. You know, I believe the people that call in and are passionate about it, I believe they feel, you know, fundamentally one way or the other about it. But I'm just saying the people who are politicians about it, they don't care. If they cared, something would have been done one way or the other. All they want to do is they want to keep people, you know, upset about it, agitated about it, so that they'll keep coming out and supporting them.
Exactly, Tim. Hey, Tim, I appreciate you taking my call, and you have a great morning, my friend.
You as well. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
508-996-0500. I'm getting all kinds of messages now from people who are like, yep, we're here. We're listening. I know that you are. I didn't know that you were until you all started coming out and telling me that, but I know you're there now. And now this is your space. This is your place. So this is where you can come in and you can have your say. Again, I don't like to get into it where we insult other callers or we insult other hosts. Like, let's not do that. But we can have those conversations that you aren't hearing anywhere else. Because it's not like all of a sudden another Donald Trump presidency is going to give way to all kinds of, you know, more liberal talk shows. It's not going to happen. So this is the place. And tell your friends that are of like mind that they should be tuning in the morning and calling in and having their voice heard. I'm just the monkey that comes in and presses the buttons. This is your show. And utilize it. Utilize it for sure for the next 4 years. And hopefully beyond that. Not that we want to need to, but also I don't want to just have the show be over in 4 years. 508-996-0500. I keep making the joke that I'll probably die, you know, at my desk. But if it ends up being behind the microphone, I'm fine with that too. 508-996-0500. You are next on WBSM.
Hello, Tim.
How you doing?
Oh, not too bad. You know, I think you're spot on about the politicians that don't really care about a particular issue. They just use it to fire people up. And there's a lot of stupid on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And disingenuousness. Like the immigration issue. The Republicans don't really want to solve it. They won't go after the businesses that are hiring these people. So you're not serious if you're not going to go after them.
Right. I mean, if you're... like, I get it. I get saying, you know, closing the border will solve the problem, but giving them the reason not to come here or the ability to make a living for themselves when they get here would also keep people from coming too. Not that, you know, not that I want to see businesses shut down, but putting those restrictions on them would show that, hey, you can't just cross here and get a job and make money right away. You're going to have to go through the process to be able to work legally.
And they shut down legislation that would have addressed that. Now they'll probably pat. Now that they've got the Senate and they've got Trump in the White House, now they'll pass that, you know, after they deport everybody they possibly can. And then they'll say, see, we told you we could fix it. You could have fixed it while Biden was still in office. You could have fixed it when Trump was in office the first time. You could have fixed it when Obama was in the office. You don't want to fix it.
And I think, you know, you made a good point because I was talking about it in terms of the abortion issue, but it's not just that. It's everything. You know, it's the same reason why people are critical of, you know, the pharmaceutical industry, because the money isn't in the cure. The money is in the treatment of a chronic illness. And that's what they're doing. They're keeping these as chronic problems so that they can always keep trying to work to try to solve it. I hate to relate things as important as politics to professional wrestling, but oh my God, there's so many similarities. But you know, everybody yeah. wants to see their favorite wrestler win the championship. And then once they do win the championship, you kind of run out of storylines and people kind of lose interest anymore because they won. And people care more about the fight than they do the victory. And it's more about the journey than the destination.
And on the other side, the Democrats, too, you know, some of their stupid. You know, I don't agree with a lot of this trans and gay stuff. I mean, if you're gay, you're trans, fine. That's you. You be you. But if you have a penis, you don't go in the ladies' locker room or the ladies' restroom. You just don't. And you can't compete on their teams and vice versa. You can call yourself they or... But I don't have to buy into your crap.
No, but you have to respect what it is that they want.
I can respect what it is that they want, but I don't have to buy into it.
Well, whatever you want to believe in your mind is up to you. But if somebody says, hey, I use the pronouns they, them, you better address them as they, them.
Their pronouns are going to be you when it comes to me.
Well, I mean, that's easier.
Yeah. I'm not going to use they, them, or any other weird. If that's how you feel, fine. You are now permanently you.
How do you, period. Just from a grammatical standpoint, how do you say it then if you're referring, discussing them to other people?
I'll be ungrammatical.
Well, cross that bridge when it comes up in conversation, I guess.
I suppose I'll just use bad grammar because I don't know. I don't care what you present yourself as. What you actually are is what you actually are.
Well, we'll agree to disagree there.
But yeah, okay, that's fine too. I don't think they should be allowed on opposite gender teams or in opposite gender restrooms and locker rooms. I just don't go for that.
All right. Well, you have a good day. I'm gonna move on to another call here, but thank you for the call, and don't be a stranger.
Hello.
All right, let's take this one here. Good morning, you're next on WBSM.
Hi, Tim. Quick question. Do you happen to know, I saw on WBSM a while ago, any word about when the Pizza Hut's going to be coming to New Bedford?
No, I just drove by there the other day, and I didn't...
Right, I just wanted to find out if you guys heard anything.
It didn't look like there's any action over there when I drove by the other day, but I can check with Gazelle, see if he knows anything.
Should I call 4107?
Yeah, you can give him a try. He might. I know he was following along.
I see what's going on every day with the news and stuff.
Well, we appreciate that.
Around the area.
Yeah, I know he was following that story because I know he's excited about the return of Pizza Hut. So he might know better than I do.
I could just message him on Messenger because I have him on Facebook as a friend.
That's an easy way to do it. He's always so busy in the morning. I'm sure he'll get back to you one way or the other.
Okay, all right. I just wanted to know if you guys knew.
All right. Well, if I do find out, I will make sure I definitely announce something.
Can they put it on the BSM website?
Oh yeah, I'm sure we'll have a story once it's announced, once it's ready to go.
Okay, although, thank you, Tim.
Apparently, we missed Starbucks. Oh. Starbucks in Fairhaven is already open. So
there's one near. I've been to the one near Margaret Basket since they opened.
So now, well, now the Fairhaven one is open. Gazelle's working on that story today. I know that.
And now we have Jersey Mike's in New Bedford too now.
Yeah. Burlington open in Fairhaven. There's all kinds of stuff.
Really?
It's almost like the economy's doing better, right?
Yep.
All right. You have a good day.
You got Marisol's.
Yeah.
All right. Have a good day.
Take it easy. 508-996-0500. Let me squeeze in one more here before I get to take a break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Yes. And two quick points, if you would allow me. First, sure. I find it interesting in the trans thing because no one wants to be a man anymore. The trans is one way. It's men who want to be women. I don't know too many women that want to be men.
There's a lot of them.
But anyway, so you were talking, your original point was about different viewpoints. During the Bush administration, there was a nationally syndicated woman. I can't remember her name, but she was the daughter of Barry Goldwater. So she had a show. It was the morning drive time in L.A., so 8 o'clock there, 11 here. Total lib radio. Well, I would call up front of the line. They would put me all the time. She used to call me her little Republican love muffin. And we'd go back and forth and we'd have all kinds of conversations. That wasn't the best part. The best part was I would hang up and the calls after. There'd be people crying. Oh my gosh, there's people out there that think like your last caller. Oh my goodness. But she parlayed my call, put me into the front of the line because it was so good for the rest of her show. So I know you don't always agree with differing points and sometimes people get heated with you, mm-hmm. but it is actually a good thing. Her audience was primarily libs, right? Yours is a mix because you took over from, you know who. And so he had a very conservative show. So most of the people that call into Phil's show, which is sort of your show now, were, you know, of a different mindset. So now that's why I think, and I'm not sure what you think, I think it's good to have differing opinions because it gives your audience something to listen to.
Oh, right. So, and differing opinions are great. And, you know, as long as they don't devolve into arguments and name calling and all that. But yeah, no, differing opinions are great. My point earlier wasn't about, you know, we need to shut out the differing opinions. It's just trying to encourage the people that think that their opinions are different than the callers that don't call in.
Well, yeah, and that might be true, but like I said, the callers after, it was hysterical. And like I said, I got to the front of the line, but they really thought, the good news about it was a different viewpoint was brought to them, and they thought that I was absolutely insane. But see, unfortunately, Total Lib Radio, right, doesn't make it on its own. This was a syndicated show, right? So it had to be, I really do feel that for talk radio, not anymore because now there's podcasts, talk radio was the only way to really get a conservative viewpoint, right? So the Howie Carr shows of the world, mm-hmm. Cooner. So that was really the only way to get your point across. Now there's more, you know, younger middle-aged people. Then I say younger middle, I say 40, 50-year-olds are all listening to podcasts. So talk radio kind of might go by the wayside. I hate to, let you guys know that, but it's sort of the way that it is with podcasts. So you don't have to listen to commercials or anything.
And I think the other part of it too is, podcasts allow you to hear the information, hear the conversation without having to be an active participant. The people who want to be active participants are going to be talk radio people because they want to be able to call in and have their voice be heard when a lot of podcasts don't offer that possibility.
Well, and you're 100% right. So I don't think it always goes away, but I do think predominantly talk radio is more on the conservative side just because you can get a lot more of a left opinion on MSNBC, ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC. It's prevalent.
So there, just really quickly, I know she's not the daughter of Goldwater, but she was the daughter of Goldwater's running mate. Was it Stephanie Miller's show that you would go on?
It was. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. How did you figure that out? It was Stephanie Miller.
Well, because we used to carry Stephanie Miller and I used to listen to it. We used to have it on WBSM and it was on at night and people would complain about it. The first time we ever ran it, and I remember because Pete put it on and he's like, you're going to be excited. We have a liberal show on. And so I tuned into the first one. The very first episode, she's talking about her private parts in kind of a graphic way. And they got so many phone calls the next morning from people that are complaining, like, I don't care about her viewpoints. I just don't want to hear her talking about her body parts.
That's right. It was Goldwater's running mate, right? Because who was a conservative? And so she was on the opposite end of the spectrum. It was a Stephanie Miller. It was hysterical. But if you think about it, drive time in L.A., 8 to 11, you got to mix it up. Come on. You know what I mean?
And I was a fan of hers because she used to have a talk show in the 90s, a late night show, when they were giving everybody a late night show in syndication. And so I became a fan of hers. And then when I heard her talk show, I was like, oh, this is different. But she had a lot of people on who are now, you know, pretty strong liberal voices out there in social media world. So she was kind of ahead of the curve to some degree.
So you can imagine the beating she gave me.
And you know what, though? She's very funny, so I'm sure, you know, between the two of you going back and forth, it was radio gold.
Yeah. Oh, it was so much fun. So that's the Stephanie Miller Show. That's exactly what it was.
I got a friend that might have some recordings. I'll have to ask him if he's got any left over from back in those days, and we can see if we can find them for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. You have a good day.
Have a good day. Yeah, bye.
All right, 508-996-0500. I've got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, I'm not going to make Phil wait as long as I did last hour to give us the news. So take it away, Phil Devitt.
After conceding the race, Kamala Harris vows to keep fighting. Healthcare workers saying no to COVID vaccines. And for the Ruby Slippers, there's no place like home.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Kamala Harris is conceding the presidential race to Donald Trump.
While I concede this election, I do not concede the fight that fueled this campaign.
Speaking from her alma mater, Howard University in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday, the vice president said her heart is full of gratitude for her supporters. Harris said she called President-elect Trump earlier in the day to congratulate him, and she's looking forward to a peaceful transfer of power. She also thanked Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota for his work on the campaign trail as her running mate. Some top members of the Harris-Walz campaign are giving themselves a blunt assessment of their efforts. Lisa Taylor has more.
Campaign surrogate Lindy Lee said losing to Donald Trump was a red wedding moment and a bloodbath.
So everyone is in a state of shock. Youth and Latinos and African Americans, a lot of them went over to Trump. So there's going to be a lot of soul searching in the next couple of days. I hope that we can do an honest assessment.
Lee said Democrats need to figure out what went wrong. She says one of Harris's biggest failures was not separating herself from President Biden when she told The View she wouldn't have done anything different than the president. I'm Lisa Taylor.
The story of Tuesday night's election was the minority vote. Brian Shook with the details.
Trump won a growing share of Latinos, and experts say it was the Republicans' messaging on the economy.
The argument that Democrats were a threat to the advances that Hispanics had made.
SMU political analyst Cal Gilson says that shift towards the GOP was most pronounced in South Texas. Trump came out on top in Hidalgo County, which has historically been a Mexican-American stronghold. President Biden won that county with 58% of the vote back in 2020. I'm Brian Shook.
The White House says President Biden will address the nation this morning at 11. Biden spoke with Trump on Wednesday and congratulated him on his election victory. He also invited Trump to the White House to talk about a smooth transition of power. Trump's pending legal cases will most likely be dropped. NBC News reports the Department of Justice is moving to wind down Trump's criminal cases before he takes office. The move would fall in line with a longstanding policy that a sitting president cannot be prosecuted. Attorneys for accused quadruple murderer Brian Koberger will ask a judge in Boise today to consider removing the death penalty as a punishment in the event their client is convicted. Koberger is accused of killing four University of Idaho students in November of 2022. Five out of six healthcare workers in hospitals and nursing homes say they're not getting COVID-19 boosters. A recent survey shows despite the fact that many healthcare workers view COVID as a serious health threat, they're not confident in the safety, effectiveness, and benefit of the COVID vaccine. The ruby slippers once worn by Judy Garland in The Wizard of Oz are being sold in an auction set to end next month. The shoes were on display at the Judy Garland Museum in Minnesota until they were stolen in 2005.
Give me back my slippers. I'm the only one that knows how to use them. They're no use to you. Give them back to me. Give them back.
The shoes were recovered and returned to their owner, and the museum has been raising money in hopes of getting them back through the auction. The slippers have an estimated value of over $3 million.
WBSM Sports.
Bruins home in Boston to play the Calgary Flames tonight at 7. Celtics host the Brooklyn Nets at TD Garden on Friday. Patriots and the Chicago Bears Sunday in Chicago. Catch the game here on WBSM.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Another pleasant, mostly sunny day here on the South Coast. Temperatures in the upper 60s to low 70s. More sun and a high of 66 on Friday. A cooler weekend with temperatures in the 50s, but back up to the 60s in time for Veterans Day on Monday. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
It differently, but if you want to follow him on social media, you can see him give his tours, but he always has great information, and he put a series of information up on his Instagram story that I found to be kind of interesting in some of the parallels between Donald Trump and Grover Cleveland. He says Donald Trump will now be only the second president in American history to serve two non-consecutive terms. The other was Democrat Grover Cleveland, who served as president from 1885 to 1889, got defeated by Republican Benjamin Harrison, and then got reelected 4 years later to serve from 1893 to 1897. We've all heard about that so far, but it's when he starts to dig into some of this stuff a little bit more that's interesting. He says President Grover Cleveland was from New York. Like Trump, he was known for his rhetoric against immigrants and minorities, his pro-business and anti-union policies, and he had even been accused of rape. But he managed to get elected twice, although during his second term, there was a major financial downturn and he left office incredibly unpopular. As sheriff of Erie County, New York in the 1870s, Cleveland personally executed convicted criminals. Most sheriffs would rely on a deputy to do the actual hanging, but Cleveland didn't want to pay the deputies extra, so he handled the hangings himself. A widow named Maria Halpin claimed that as sheriff, Grover Cleveland invited her to his home for dinner and made sexual advances. She claimed that when he resisted them, he became angry and violently raped her. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son. Cleveland had the baby taken from her and put in an orphanage. He also claimed his sex move with Maria had been consensual and that she was an insane, promiscuous, alcoholic liar. He had her committed to an insane asylum. Maria Halpin was released from the insane asylum when the doctors realized that she was not insane or a drunk and that Grover Cleveland was trying to destroy her. He spent the rest of her life trying to get her child back and to get justice for what she claimed Cleveland had done to her, but she was unsuccessful. During Grover Cleveland's 1884 presidential campaign, Republicans exposed Cleveland's secret child and the rape allegation. That year, Republicans had a chant that went, "Ma, ma, where's my pa?" When Cleveland won the election, the Democrats gleefully and mockingly came up with the retort, "Gone to the White House, ha, ha, ha." After being sheriff, Grover Cleveland became mayor of Buffalo, governor of New York, and president. He was also a successful attorney. He developed a strong fondness for his law partner's young daughter, Frances Folsom, spending as much time with her as possible. And when the law partner died suddenly in an accident, Cleveland became the 11-year-old girl's ward and began grooming her to be his future bride. When people would ask him when he would get married, he would laugh and say, "When my bride grows up." In 1886, when Frances Folsom turned 21, she married her guardian, the 49-year-old President Grover Cleveland, becoming the youngest first lady in history. The nation was captivated by their White House wedding, and the couple had 5 children. Ironically, during his presidency, Grover Cleveland was viewed as a crusader against corruption and a man of impeccable moral rectitude. So that found that to be pretty interesting. And also, as people are pointing out that J.D. Vance is the first millennial to hold nationwide office, Jeremiah also points out that the media is completely overlooking the fact that J.D. Vance is going to be the first vice president in nearly a century to have facial hair. So just some little interesting factoids among some of the names that you're hearing coming up with all the historical firsts and things that are being discussed. So let's go back to the phones. 508-996-0500. You are next on WBSM. Oh, hold on. Let me press that again. There you go. Now you're on the air.
Oh, good morning.
How you doing?
Pretty good. That's a heck of a story. You got there about Grover Cleveland. Those are facts. I had no idea.
Yeah, I found that interesting because, you know, people have just been talking about how he's the first president that was elected to two non-consecutive terms. So he's obviously relevant in the news, but I never knew that stuff about him either.
Yeah. Well, people think that political scandals and all that are something new, but they're not anything new. I mean, go way back. Yeah. I mean, actually, one of the most successful presidents that this country ever had is somebody that most people don't even know about. That was James Polk. And in one term, he expanded this nation all the way to the Pacific Ocean by instigating a war with Mexico. And the United States acquired California, New Mexico, Arizona, Texas, all the way to the Rio Grande. And he did that in one term. He accomplished quite a bit, really.
You can do a lot in 4 years if everything lines up correctly for you.
Yeah, well, he was a disciple of Andrew Jackson, and Andrew Jackson was big on expanding the United States to the West. He also began work on the Transcontinental Railway while he was there. It wasn't completed, but he got the funding and began organizing the whole thing, and that was a major event in this country's history.
Well, you say that controversy with the presidential candidates and the presidents has gone back. I bet you, even though we think now that, you know, George Washington was universally beloved, I bet you there was one person that was saying, yeah, but let me tell you about what this guy did to a cherry tree when he was younger. You know, there's probably somebody that was trying to use that against him.
I've grown kind of cynical over the years because I'm elderly now, but when you're young, you tend to be idealistic concerning politics and all of that. But my opinion, like, of campaigns has mellowed to the point where I look at politicians and I say they will tell you anything to get elected. Pretty much. You know, I will say one thing about Donald Trump, and I'm not a big Trump supporter or anything like that. I'm not a big supporter of Kamala Harris. I didn't have a selection in this race. I didn't really have a dog in the fight, but he did get more specific on things he was going to do. And Kamala Harris made a lot of general statements, like she's going to support the middle class, but she didn't get specific about exactly how she was going to undertake these things. And I think that kind of hurt her. Too many general statements. I mean, Donald Trump did come out and say, oh, I'm going to deport illegal immigrants by the thousands, and I'm going to, you know, finish that wall that I wanted. And he got into a few more specific things.
But we'll see if any of it actually happens.
Yeah, that, you know, talk is easy.
And that's not just a slight against Donald Trump. That's just any presidential candidate makes a whole bunch of promises that never end up actually manifesting.
Yeah, I take it with a grain of salt. In the heat of a political campaign, like I say, they will say anything to get elected.
Absolutely. Oh. I got to hold you there. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.
And we have another caller on hold, but hang on. Let me take this quick break, and we'll get to you as soon as we come back. All right, let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, Tim, what's up?
How you doing?
How you feeling, dude?
Doing all right. How about you?
Yeah? Let's get to the point. How were you feeling Tuesday night?
Pretty tired, but I stayed up too late, and then, of course, things get answered right after I go to bed.
Yeah, Kleenex box close by, nipples?
No, everything was fine.
No, nothing like that.
It's just politics.
Well, yeah, no, I hear you, dude, but, you know, bottom line is that chick lost, you know why, right?
Well, why do you think?
Well, you know, trash that you and your constituents have been spewing for the last 4 years. You know it, dude. Hey, the homeless encampment, come on, dude. Stuff like that. That's why you guys lost.
I don't think that had anything to do with Kamala Harris's campaign.
Uh-oh.
I think you cut out on us there. Yeah, it sounds like you dropped off. Why can't I drop the call there? All right, there we go. I think that was more of a connection issue. So if you want to call back, you can. I think that was just sounds like you were driving. You might have been in a bad area. It was obviously a bad phone call too, but you know, if you want to call in and finish your points, you can. 508-996-0500. You can also send your app chat messages on the WBSM app. We still have time to read some of those. Got a few of those that have come in. Let me see. DSY says, is it true, Tim, all criminal charges against Trump are dropped because he is president? That is insane if so. So, no. It's not. That's not how it works. It doesn't mean that they'll be dropped. It does mean that there can be some more maneuvering. And certainly that if he's convicted, he could pardon himself. And if you're not running for re-election, what difference would it make? And I don't think his supporters would fault him if he did. The question is, does Jack Smith want to keep going forward? Because then it's going to look like, if you're trying to, you know, say that it's not political, it's going to look that way. Dave says, the more they dislike you, the more they listen. Keep up the good work. Yes, that whole Howard Stern thing. Yep. And Jeff says, legal immigrants have rights, so they can't be as effectively exploited as illegal immigrants. All right. I think that caller called back, so let's go back to him. I think we just dropped off there because of your signal.
Oh, yeah, Tim, I'm back. Yeah. Right. So back to what I was saying. Just garbage principles, man. You guys got to realign your thoughts and your principles and think about, you know, most of all, dude, okay? Think about the child abuse that's coming over that border, dude. And you cannot deny, you cannot say that's not happening.
I don't know that that's happening anymore at any more of a clip than American citizens.
You know what? You know it, dude. Sex trafficking, you know, the child abuse, the drugs, everything, dude. It's garbage. And over 20 million people, you and your constituents have allowed to come over that border illegally.
So I
you
just
know it's him.
I want to point
dude,
out, you
need to realign your principles,
this,
dude.
Okay,
and
so
no,
you want
no,
to
don't cut me off, dude, because this is what you guys do.
All right, no. See, now you can just keep talking, but you're talking to yourself now because nobody can hear you. That's not how a conversation works. And secondly, you say that these principles need to get thrown out because people don't support them. Well, 68 million people supported Kamala Harris's principles compared to 73 million people that didn't. So looks to me like half the country supports those principles. And just because a few more didn't doesn't mean that we're wrong to support the things that we do. Are you still
you
talking?
You should be there, bro. You should be the mayor. You should have a bat with like wooden like spikes on it. You should be the mayor of the homeless encampment, dude.
I liked it better when I potted you down and I couldn't hear what you were saying. All right. I got to take one final break here. Did I get it in? No, it looks like I got it in. All right, good. We're good. I'm going to take another call then. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
What's up, Tim? How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. Hey, man, the reason why she lost is because she was an atrocious candidate. Now, the Democrats need to understand their followers. I know some decent people that are in the Democrat Party. They shoved this woman on you. They waited till the primaries were all done to acknowledge that Joe Biden was a mess and he wasn't running. So that way you weren't allowed to make a choice. She was the first one out in 2016. Nobody really liked her. And they told us that Joe Biden got 81 million votes. She only got 66 or a 67. So that's about a 12 to 13 million less votes. Because people realized, this is an atrocious candidate. And doesn't that upset you as a Democrat that they did not give you a choice?
Oh, well, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I think that they should have had better candidates going all the way back to 2016.
Bernie Sanders won Rhode Island, but Hillary Clinton left with the cake and the donuts, even though he won Rhode Island. That's how the Democrats are working these days. They call them, we love our democracy, and then they're the ones acting like a dictator, forcing candidates on you. That at the end of the day, she was probably the worst presidential candidate the Democrats have ever put up.
Yeah, there's probably been some worse back in history. But I think with the problem is, as I said this yesterday, they need somebody that energizes people the way that Donald Trump energized people on the other side. They need somebody who is a personality that people want to support, because people don't come out and support just ideas.
I'm not really a big Donald Trump fan. I'm going to see what he does the next 4 years. But at the end of the day, he won because the Republican voters got so sick of the neocon rhinos, establishment Republicans, that they took a chance on that big loudmouth. Maybe the Democrats need a Donald Trump to clean up their cesspool, because that party is an absolute mess. They shoved her in front of you, and everybody said, all right, we're going to eat this. We're going to pretend to like her. And at the end of the day, she was one of the worst presidential candidates ever. All right, Tim, take care.
You have a good day. And I think, yeah, that's what I was saying yesterday, is if a cult of personality is what worked in politics for the last 10 years, and, you know, you can say, well, it didn't work in 2020. Well, it still did, because it's not like he lost support, when by all rights, he should have lost support. There was a lot of stuff that should have had people be like, all right, enough of this guy already. Like, not even whether or not you think he actually did any of it, but just enough of hearing about it every day. Like, give me somebody else that has the same ideals that isn't the same person. But none of that happened, because they liked the personality. And so Democrats have to find somebody who is that dynamic of a personality. And is there somebody? Because the same way that people that are against Donald Trump can say, just who he is as a person sickens me. Well, there's going to be people that'll say that about whoever the Democrats put out too. We can put out Gavin Newsom. Oh, well, you know, he's kind of a youngish, good-looking guy. Yeah, I think people will support. Yeah, but then other people are going to be like, yeah, this guy's icky. There's people that just aren't going to like him. And I'm not even getting into, you know, who he actually is as a person. I'm just saying, based on face value alone, or, you know, the way that they come across in speaking, they need to have somebody that is a dynamic personality. They had that with Barack Obama. There has not been, and they had that with Bill Clinton. But does the Democratic Party manufacture people like that anymore? The problem is, when they do, a lot of the times, they're women. And I don't know. I keep seeing the meme popping up, and I think it's an oversimplification of, you know, when people keep putting up, they'd rather vote for a convicted rapist and felon than a woman. And I think that's an oversimplification, but I also think there's some truth to it. Is it going to be hard for a woman to go over in an election? You would like to think that we've moved beyond that. But if Donald Trump was a woman, and who knows, you know, he's got 4 years. He might become one by the end of it. Who knows? It's 2024 America. If he wants to do that, I'd support it. But if Donald Trump was a woman and he acted the way that he acted, oh, most of you would not be supportive of that person. Most of you would be like, you know what you'd be calling him? Hillary Clinton. That's what you'd be calling him. And the same words that you would use to refer to Hillary Clinton, you know the word I'm talking about. I'm not going to say it, but, you know, it starts with a B. You'd be saying that same thing if Donald Trump was a woman. So, well, I wasn't going to go that far, Chris. Chris has one more stab down the alphabet. I'll let you get the phone calls on that, because it's the end of my show. But I think if that was the case, people wouldn't be so supportive. They'd say, oh, what a horrible person. And, you know, the jokes that you find funny, if it was a woman saying it, you'd be like, what a jerk. So I think there might be some truth to that. And so if the Democrats can only come up with women who are dynamic and engaging, they're going to hit that wall. Nikki Glaser. I don't think Nikki Glaser would be a good presidential candidate. Way too many skeletons in her closet. Like, literally, they might still be in her closet. She might have locked them in there and left them in there. She would make that same joke herself. That's funny. So I think, you know, like, who are they going to trot out in 4 years? AOC? You're still going to hit a wall. There's going to be people that you'll get a lot of people, you know, excited and supportive over the same way Kamala Harris did, but it's not going to be enough. So you've got to find somebody with that kind of personality. I think they're trying to prop up Pete Buttigieg to be that guy. I just don't know if he's that guy. think he's too milquetoast to have a cult of personality form around him. But that's where we're at. That's, I guess, what politics are now. And
Ohio seniors, it's time to make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Plans start at $0 per month and include $0 doctor visits and $0 generic prescription drugs. Visit MedMutual.com/review or call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. MedMutual Advantage plans are HMO, HMO, POS, and PPO plans offered by Medical Mutual of Ohio with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in a MedMutual Advantage plan depends on contract renewal.